Father, we thank you. We thank you for being here. We thank you that you're mighty and that you're alive today. Come on, let's praise him together. Put your hands together like this. Hey, sing.
Sing, risen. He's risen. Forever glorified. Risen. He's risen. King Jesus. King Jesus is alive.
Peace. highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but you brought me. You know his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free.
Say it. About this. I went outside, and have you ever been when you know the rain is coming and it's like a shift? There's kind of a different feel in the atmosphere. Like you can feel the rain coming. You know it's coming because the atmosphere's changed. And as I went outside and I was driving to to who knows where, but the Lord said, it's coming. He said, the atmosphere is changing and it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Rain represents so much in the Bible. It represents so many different things that we need, but it refreshes us. The Holy Spirit, it heals us. It restores us. If you weren't here last Sunday morning, it's evident that something in this altar has been changing. There's a little bit of a shift going on in the Holy Spirit in this altar. And as I was studying this week, I've been studying rain, and I've been studying what that means and all of that. You know, Elijah said, I can hear the rain coming. And do you know, when he said that, he actually couldn't hear it because it wasn't raining. But his spirit could hear it. His spirit knew it was coming. His spirit knew things were about to change. The atmosphere was changing. And I think that he probably wrote that song this morning. He's never gonna let me down. He's never gonna let me down. I think of how he sat there and he prayed and said, it's coming. And he sent somebody out. And they said, there's no signs of rain, Elijah. They came back. No signs of rain, Elijah. No signs of rain, Elijah. And it went on till about the seventh time. And then I think that person came in and said, there's a cloud. And it's a small cloud, the size of a man's hand, but there is something coming. And I'm telling you, maybe you need a healing today. You said, I have been to the altar. I have done that. But I'm telling you, spiritually, I can kind of look out and see a cloud of God's Spirit, and it's coming. There's something coming. And if you need a healing, you need help, you need strength, I want you to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in this house. I am so thankful. Whatever you need, can everybody here just raise your hand with me and let's just sing, you're good, you're good. Let's just sing that, Heather, one more time. Yes, say it. Hallelujah, you're good. After the service, maybe some of you remember when I preached a little while ago, I said there's somebody here with anxiety, and I know that you're having panic attacks, and in the night you're waking up and you just can't breathe. You know, last Sunday a man came to me, an older man, said that was me. I was waking up and I couldn't breathe, but I haven't had one since you and Kelsey prayed for me. Not one. Not one. Not one. Another lady inboxed me this week. She said, I came down because I was having seizures. And I didn't tell anybody why I was there. But somebody prayed for me. And I don't know. I suspect it was one of you. And over in that altar, she hasn't had seizures for 2 months. Hallelujah. He's so good. There's healing in this house. There's healing in this house. I am so thankful. So thankful. Can you just tell about 3 people? God is a healing God, and you may be seated. You know, last Sunday morning, we had a special prayer time for Brian and Stephanie, and they had to go to Boston this week, and he had surgery, and he is in God's house today. Yeah. I didn't see you, or I would have come and hugged you. I am so thankful. We prayed for him. The staff prayed for him, and we are so thankful. Aren't you thankful for the family of God, the church? I'm so thankful. Amen. Ushers, you may come on down. We're gonna give. It's good to give in God's house, isn't it? I know that you're givers, so I just caught you off guard. It's good to give in God's house, isn't it? Amen. 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 If you weren't here last Sunday and you did not hear this, we are redoing our fellowship hall. And we need it redone. We need some good sound stuff. It's just going to look amazing. Amazing. So we need it done. We're going to do some small weddings out there, do some services out there. So if you did not get thank you, honey, pledge card. That I heard this voice, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit, but close. It was Pastor Ward. Pledge card. If you didn't get one, just pick. It's right in the seat in front of you. Pick this up and fill it out and put in the offering. Say what you'd like to give towards that project. Whatever you give to that project is doubled, and we are excited about that. Amen? Amen. I just want to ask the Lord to bless this offering and bless the rest of this service. Amen. I just believe that there's something today that's going to happen that we're going to hear testimonies about this week because of what happened today. So will you pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful for your house. We're just so thankful that we can come into your house today and worship you. We're thankful, Lord, for America that we can come in this house and worship you. God, I just pray, Lord, that you bless every family here. Every person that's here represents many people. Every person they come in contact to, I pray that you bless them. Bless this offering. I pray that we can do more in 2018 than we have done before in our community. I pray, Lord, for doors that would swing wide open for this church, Lord. We pray for all the different ministries that we'll be sending money to this week. We pray that you bless them. We pray, Lord, for our mission in Haiti, Lord. We know, God, that you're going to do great things there, and you're going to do great things here, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy birthday, America.
What does your family do on the 4th of July?
We get together, cook food together.
Sometimes we're in parades. We go swimming with friends,
and we have a picnic and watch fireworks.
Fireworks?
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
Watch the fireworks show.
Shoot off fireworks.
We just have lots of fun.
Why do we send off fireworks on the 4th of July?
It was when our Declaration of Independence was signed.
Because John Adams said that's how we celebrate it.
Because it's cool.
Do you have a favorite firework?
Big ones. The Roman candles.
The blaze.
I like the sparklers. Little box, and it shoots like 20 fireworks up at the same time. They all just blow up.
I'm kind of afraid of fireworks.
What was the Revolutionary War?
It was the time that we were fighting Great Britain.
It's like when all like did a big, huge war. It was like all around. We're trying to gain our freedom.
In Boston, what were people throwing overboard from the ships into the sea?
Really expensive tea. The tea taxes were very unfair for them.
So they decided to feed it to the fish.
Why did our founding fathers wear wigs?
Because that was the classy thing to do, to look fancy.
Because back then they'd lose their hair very quickly and it was slightly embarrassing.
Who is your favorite founding father?
George Washington. He always seemed like a strong man. He didn't seem like he would ever break.
Benjamin Franklin.
I kind of want to be like him because he's so smart.
What was the document they wrote to create our government?
Treaty of Paris. Wait, no, sorry. Constitution.
Constitution.
The Constitution.
First one was the Articles of Confederation.
What's the Stars and Stripes?
Our American flag.
The stripes are the 13 colonies.
The stars represent all the states.
What song is our national anthem?
Oh, say, can you see?
The star... Wait, no. How do I not know this?
Star Spangled Banner?
What do soldiers do?
They defend us.
They fight for us.
They protect our freedoms and our beliefs.
If they weren't there, we wouldn't have freedom.
What does freedom mean?
You have freedom of your speech and religion and your actions.
If we weren't free, we wouldn't be what we are.
Why is America special?
We give opportunities that some other countries don't have.
Written in the Bill of Rights and all the amendments.
How does America help the world?
It helps other countries be free.
Showing an example for other countries that might want to change.
We have a ton of charities that we help people with.
Donate our clothes,
food packages,
send nurses and doctors so we can take care of their wounds,
help the poor and give money to them and build houses.
What do you think God likes most about our country?
How we have freedom and we treat everyone equally.
That we're always thinking.
And we're trying to tell other countries about him and spreading the word.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America.
God bless the USA.
God bless America.
Sorry, that was my bad. Sorry, Alfie, thank you. One more time. Let Sammy know they did a great job. If you would, please. Great job. That was awesome. Well, happy 4th of July to you in advance, and I hope that you have a fantastic... What a wonderful crowd here on the most vacation Sunday of the year. And how many are just glad you get to just kind of hang out? And just how many for you vacations just kind of chill out a little bit, just like, no, okay, I don't know what you're gonna do, but anyways, roast I think this week. But we're so glad that you're here. And this coming tonight, let me just say, tonight is a very special night. We're having service at 5 o'clock. I can't wait. I know what I got to share with you, and I think it's going to be a great help to you. But next Sunday, somebody say next Sunday. Next Sunday is a big Sunday. It's July the 8th. But it's a big Sunday because we have an opportunity to cast the net and to see a lot of people get saved next Sunday morning and next Sunday night. Our friend Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be here, and he's going to be ministering in both services on prophecy. And I believe, Tiff, would you come up, please, if you would, please? Thank you so much. We love Tiff and Judy Shuttlesworth. Let them know as he's coming how much we're grateful for their ministry. Tiff just got back from Alaska, and we were a significant part of that financially in our missions outreach, and so grateful to have such an asset and such a gift to this church, and a friend of mine, obviously. We're grateful for Tiff and Judy. And I asked Tiff this morning, he just happened to be off the road today, which is very unusual, but I asked him if he'd come and give us a heads up on what to expect next Sunday. I'd like to see this whole place get full of people next week. Share with them what's going to happen. Take your time, really.
Good to be in God's house today. Can you say a big praise the Lord?
Amen.
I was told at the beginning of the year to make sure to take this time off because my granddaughter, for the very first time, is in church with Grandma and I. So,
wow.
Hi, Stella. It's exciting in the hour in which we live to talk about Bible prophecy, and I have felt more than ever before in our ministry to give attention to that. Many of you may know that the Bible has over 2,500 very specific prophecies. Over 2,100 of those prophecies have already come to pass with complete and total accuracy. The Bible has never been wrong. One famous scholar said, Bible prophecy is so accurate that it's history written before it takes place. The next major prophetic event in the Bible is an event called the rapture of the church. Immediately after that, the Bible said there's going to be a 7-year span of time called the Great Tribulation. And I receive a lot of questions on that subject, and we're going to be focusing next Sunday morning and Sunday night on the subject of the Great Tribulation. One of the most common questions that comes in on that subject is, will the church go through the Great Tribulation? Now, many of you are new Christians or maybe just beginning a journey of faith, and Bible prophecy may scare you, but I want to tell you something. Bible prophecy was not given to scare us. Bible prophecy was given to prepare us. And we are literally watching, and I say this with all sincerity, we are literally watching around the world the final end time prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. And sadly, many people who believe in the Bible don't know what's happening. But the Bible tells us exactly what is going to happen. The Bible tells us there's coming a one world leader. He's called the Antichrist in the Bible. The Bible tells us he'll establish a one world religion. He'll establish a one world economy. We're watching that taking place even as we speak. Many of you that have been following economic news know that India, in a short amount of time, has required every single person in India, population over 1 billion people, they've already retina scanned over 97% of the entire population of India. They've also done biometric scans on their right fingers, and overnight, the leader of India took away their currency. It'd be the equivalent of waking up tomorrow to find out that on the news and on your apps and on your phones and devices that the government took away all of our money except for $1 bills and change. That's exactly what happened in India. And right now, the only way for them to conduct business in India is they have to go to a designated financial institution and be retina scanned to do any kind of purchasing. China is right on the heels of that, and I could go on with many, many countries. People, listen to me when I tell you, we are running out of time. And the purpose of prophecy, again, is not to scare us, but to prepare us. And the thing that I'd like to urge you to do today is you don't have to be a scholar or a student of prophecy, but every Christian should have a fundamental understanding of some of the simple truths that the Bible tells us on how to live in the last days. Many of you have unsafe family and friends that aren't ready to meet the Lord. Can I challenge you to do your absolute best? Don't come to church alone next Sunday. If there ever were an opportunity to get a friend or a loved one, I just flew back from Texas. One of the men and the ministers in that church was John Osteen's armor bearer for 32 years. During that Lost Lamb Crusade, just outside in Houston, that grandfather and grandmother saw three of their granddaughters get saved. And when I say granddaughters, the youngest was around 22, the oldest around 28. It's never too late to see your friends and family come to Christ. So I want to challenge you, bring somebody with you next week, both Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'll be preaching on the subject, will the church go through the Great Tribulation? And I hope that you'll be present. I hope you'll have a carload of people. The Bible says go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. In the original Greek, that means tase them, duct tape them, put them in the trunk, get them into the house of God by any effort you can. Jesus is coming soon. How many want to be ready to meet the Lord?
Yes, sir.
I love you this morning. God bless you. Pastor.
Just one moment. Gentlemen, if you would bring these cards forward, would you explain this covenant card?
Absolutely.
This is from TIFF's ministry. And everybody that wants one, raise your hand when you get an usher. Listen to what this will do.
How many outdoorsmen and hunters do we have in the building? There's an old saying, it's difficult to hit a target you can't see, but it's impossible to hit a target you don't have. I want you to think about that just for a moment. It's difficult to hit a target you can't see, but it's impossible to hit a target that you don't have. People don't get saved just willy-nilly by accident. The Bible says only the Holy Spirit can convict people of sin and convince them of their need of Christ. As the ushers are passing these out, I want to challenge you to do something very simple. On that card are seven blank places. And I'm going to challenge you not just for next Sunday, but as an ongoing spiritual challenge to write down the names of seven people that you know who need Christ. The crusade that we just finished, every single first-time decision for Christ had been on somebody's covenant, had been in somebody's prayer list, and had been invited by that individual to attend. People don't get saved by accident. Those three granddaughters, I often, and I didn't ask them, but I often wonder, why didn't they get saved earlier? Why did it take last week in a Lost Lamb event for those granddaughters to be saved? Well, I believe one of the reasons why we see breakthroughs in family salvation is when we begin to pray with biblical focus and pray with hearts that are concerned. Nothing, don't miss this, nothing on this earth happens in the believer's life that is not first wrestled through on knees of prayer. Nothing happens in your life until on knees of prayer you wrestle it through with the Lord. You'll never get delivered from what you're not disgusted with. You'll never see people come to Christ until you begin to go to God in prayer and realize you have a spiritual right. Some of you have unsaved children and grandchildren and family members. Here's how you pray. Pray 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God said, I'm willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. There's not one family represented within the sound of my voice that God not only loves your family, He wants your family to be saved. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Some of you have prayed for years and years and years and still have unsaved children. God's not done yet. Don't be afraid to pray a prayer. Lord, whatever it takes. Begin to pray that way for your unsaved family. Begin to pray prayers like, Lord, take all of the pleasure out of their sin and turn it to pain and drive them to the foot of the cross, because heaven is forever and so is judgment. So let's pray that God will help us. And as I already mentioned, not just for next Sunday, but throughout the remainder of the year here at Charleston Church, all it would take for this church to double in its size in 1 year is for each one to reach one. And you can do that. I said you can do that. God will help you to do that. And I'm believing next week we're going to see a great harvest of souls. And as always, it's always a great privilege to be home. This is my home church. He's not only one of my best friends, he's my pastor, whom I love and respect. And God is going to do great things. I believe what Pastor Darcy said moments ago, the best is yet to come for all who have their faith in Christ. We'll see you next week in God's house right here. Be on time and bring somebody with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Brother Shuttlesworth. Thank you so much. Thank you. Praise God. Would you stand with me now and take that card in hand? If you would stand with me, everybody stand, please. But everybody that's got a card, I know probably there's one for every family. Would you lift that up with me right now? I sense within this church the heart for the lost. How many know it's not time for church games? It's time to do business for Jesus Christ. People woke up. People went to bed last night that woke up in eternity. Did anybody reach them? How many are committed today that if God's not willing that any should perish, neither is Charleston Church? Come on, if God's not willing that any should perish, so is Charleston Church. I'm not convinced. You got to shake off this stuff that's got you consumed in everything else that doesn't matter, and you got to get your focus on the thing that does matter. How many would identify, if God's not willing that any individual would perish, neither is Charleston Church? That's better. All right, that's good. Lift that card up. In the name of Jesus, we claim every person, Lord, that it was, we will write on this list that we commit to be a part of their salvation. God, we don't have to wonder if you want to. Lord, what we're looking for is for mercy and grace, divine favor, wisdom, and anointing to break every spiritual stronghold. Drop the blinders off of every soul. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman is worth more than all the money on the planet in your eyes. And I pray today that the fire of revival would burn in our church like it has never burned before. Lord, we're not taking a vacation from the lost. God, we're not taking a season off or a summer off from reaching people, but God, we'll say that right in the middle of it, we believe the greatest harvest will happen in the least church state in the United States. Lord, let Maine be the place where the lost are getting saved more than any other state in the United States, and we give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say a good amen today, if you would, please. Praise God. Praise God. While you're standing, open your Bibles to the book of Mark. I'm going to preach for just a minute, then we're going to take communion. Now, when I speak to you this morning about miracle-working power, what's happening, if you'll hear what I'm telling you, is not an emotion. What's happening is the Word of God, something supernatural like a seed is getting inside of your heart. How many of you want something good to get planted in there so something good will come out of your life? After I'm done preaching that, we're going to take communion. That's going to back your belief, because the communion is all about Jesus and the new covenant in the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to lay hands on you. I believe backs are going to be healed today. How many receive a healing in your back? Oh, there's a lot of backs here today. All right. We're not backing up. We're not backing up. I believe that diabetes is going to be healed today in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. It's 11:11. It's not 12:11. You don't have to check out on me yet. I believe heart diseases are going to get healed today in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever is going on in your body. But before the service is over, at some point, I'm going to give you an invitation. If you're here and you've heard what Brother Shuttlesworth has said, what my wife has said, the worship, what I preach today, I'm going to tell you today, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, before the service is over, I'm going to give you a clear and a very concise invitation to come to Christ. And before this service is over, you're going to know that you're connected to God and you're as ready for heaven as anybody. How many of you have made that decision and you never regret being heaven ready? Really? Mark chapter 6, verse 45. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Who made them get into the boat? And go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. This is the next event after that famous moment when Jesus fed 5,000 men and their wives and children with a happy meal, as Walter Young says. Verse 46. And when Jesus sent them on the boat, he departed to the mountain and prayed. When they got on the boat, Jesus walked up on the mountain. There are people who say, well, there are times that you're alone. Only if you're in disobedience. But if you're obeying God, even if you're in the storm, just because you can't see him doesn't mean he can't see you. That's going to mean more in a minute. Verse 47. Now when the evening came, the boat was in the middle. Somebody say the middle. Yeah. The middle of the sea, and he was on the land. The middle. The miracle is often in the middle, but the middle can often be the most difficult spot. The middle means you're too far in to go back, but you're not far enough over to get functional peace. Don't raise your hand. I almost asked you to. I wonder how many people are here that are too married to go back. Don't raise your hand. All right, how many, just go ahead and say, I wouldn't go back if I could. Go ahead, just say, I'm too far in. I got too much money in this one. I can't go back. Look, you've got those kids. There's no return address. You're not sending them back. You've got a business that you can't back out of, but you're not fully seeing the functional peace. I mean, circumstances in order. But that's where God loves to work. Verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. Sometimes God will send you somewhere, and it doesn't mean that you're going to sleep through it. I was out back of the church a couple days ago, and I saw the birds eating food. And I was reminded that God said, I'll feed the birds, but the birds had to leave the nest to get it. So how many know there is your part to play in the miracle? Verse 49, I'm almost done. And when they saw him walking on... verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch, which was between 3 to 6 a.m., so it's dark, of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And he would have passed them by. Can you imagine that? How many know you can get so focused on the problem, you miss the solution? And that's not happening to you today, right? All right, verse 49. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then he got into the boat with them. The wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Let me just give you a teaser for tonight and then we'll be seated. There are two people that have got a plan for your life, the devil and the Lord. And whichever you get will be determined by your heart. How many have got a heart open for God to do something great in your life today? Jesus, please help me. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Let me tell you just three things, then we're going to go into communion, about your miracle. When you're in the storm, when you're in the fire, number one, you got to remember that you are God's destination. Somebody say that with me. You are God's destination. Verse 48 of that chapter says that God saw them. They had a destination. It was to get to Bethsaida. They had their eyes on where they were going. But while they were on their way to where they're going, they hit a storm. But just because they hit a storm doesn't mean that Jesus didn't know where they're at. While they were focusing on the future and the problem, Jesus was focusing on them. It would be very easy when you're in a trial, in a storm, in resistance, in persecution, in criticism, it would be very easy to say that God is not with me. But you have no idea that his eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on you today. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It doesn't say it's on those who have no problems. It doesn't say his eyes are on those who have no weakness. He says his eyes are on those who are righteous and his ears are open to their cry. You need to hear this today because people are constantly talking about their storm. But diagnosing the storm doesn't change it. It may hold you in it longer, but it doesn't alter the direction. It doesn't stop the disease. It doesn't stop the rebellion. It doesn't stop the attack. It doesn't stop the backstabbing. But I will tell you this, there's nothing happening to you that when you tell God about it, he'll say, wow, I didn't know that. He never says, I should check my Facebook post more often. Come on, somebody. I've come to preach faith. I'm already in fourth gear, and you're still in neutral. I can feel it. You can feel it. Catch up with me. I'm telling you today, God knows where you're seated. He knows what you need. He knows what the doctor said. He knows what the lawyer said. He knows what the teacher said. But what matters is what does he say? Hallelujah. His eye is on you today. The devil's got you in his crosshairs to kill you. But God's got you in his crosshairs to save you. We saw God provide in the miracle of the loaves, but now we're seeing God deliver in the miracle of the storm. So you're sitting here, and I hope that you're thinking this. If you're a real practical person, you are. You're thinking that makes for good preaching, and you could put music to it. But really, how does God come to me? Like Jesus is not walking on Boyd Lake today. A lot of his people are on lake somewhere today. Don't be bitter. Don't be jealous in God's house. But please hear what I'm going to tell you right here. Practically, how does God come to me in the storm? He comes to me in his word. And he comes to me in his spirit. Jesus is not in that body walking the planet anymore. We are his body. We understand that. But if you're in the lawyer's office, you need to know he comes to you through his word and by his spirit. In other words, every time you confess the word of God and you call on his name, Jesus gets on the water and he starts walking your way. Come on, somebody. If you want him to come to you, get in his word and call on his name. I wish I was intelligent enough to make it more complicated. But when your children are acting wrong, get in the word and call on his name. When they're talking about layoffs, get in the word and call on his name. When your mind is tormenting you with anxiety or depression, get in his word and call on his name. I'm pressing it prophetically today. Somebody needs to crack open your Bible or turn it on. I don't care how you do it, but get in that Bible. Get in 90 days of prayer and reading and get in that Bible and say, this is where the word says, and I'll call on his name. And when his word and his name come out of my mouth, Jesus starts walking on the storms of my life. Thank God. Come on, somebody give God thanks. Don't patty cake him. Praise God. I need to tell somebody today that your eyes are on the waves, but his eyes are on you. Your eyes are on the bills, but his eye is on you. I always feel like somebody's watching me. It's grace and mercy. Come on. Some of you were born under a bad sign. If it weren't for bad luck, you'd have no luck at all. Must I go hee-haw tonight? Today. No, I know that the eye of the Lord is upon his child. Why do I know it today? Because every time I go to the word and I call on his name, I'm reminded of Psalm 34 verse again. His eyes are on the righteous. When I was born, when you were born, you were spiritually disconnected from God. It's called death. And you have no chance of getting to God or God getting to you because you're spiritually dead. But Jesus Christ saw that the only way to bridge the gap between your dead spirit and God's living hope is that he would come to the cross and die on the cross. It required judgment. Your sin, my every sin, please hear somebody what I'm saying, every sin will be punished. Every terrorist sin will be punished. Every vile politician's sin will be punished. Every predator's sin will be punished, whether you see it on the earth or not. And every one of Matt Ward's sins will be punished. But our good news has come to me that the punishment for my sins, Jesus gladly took it on the cross, and I'll sin no more. And I'm telling somebody today, you think you're getting away with it. You think that you can get by with it, or you think somebody else is getting away with it. No, absolutely not. If they don't come to Christ for eternity in hell, they will suffer the consequences for the judgment of sin. But today, I'm glad to report to you the greatest news ever seen is that God stepped off the pristine shores and he saw your sin and my sin and the sins of the world, and he gladly put himself on the cross and said, I'll take the punishment because my love for you is greater than my information about you. You've got to release the power of God. Because what is in you is bigger than what's coming against you. How many of you have been in God's will facing a storm? Now, we've all been in storms because of our own doing. I'm not talking about that. But obeying God, yet facing resistance. And you begin to think that foes are bigger than you. But realize the stronger the wind that's coming against you is the stronger the wind that God will put up inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Secondly, you need not only to know your God's destination, but you've got to make an action of faith. An action of faith. They cried out to him when he was walking by. Someone spoke up. Someone said something. They would have drowned. You will stay addicted. You will stay sick. You will stay defeated. Your kids will walk away from God. Your mind will stay in torment. Your money will continue to be funny until you begin to say, I'm not going to sit here and drown. I'm going to do something about it. God is not drawn to you because you're pitiful. I'd like to just sit down and look at you when I say that one more time. In a really loving way. Because I just think too many people have built their doctrine on songs. God's not pitying you because you're pitiful. Even that child knows it. We think if we can just sing pitiful. You know, I felt like you were with me for a long time today, so I don't like to get used to that. Oh, when this child, oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of some songs that would really tick you off if I started singing them. I mean, Christian songs. Because what's sad about it is we sing these sad songs and we think we can get godly, be like our grampy and just feel bad for us. If I can get my chin to quiver. I'm just telling you, I have watched people for decades with get their chin to quiver and get the tears and get the emotions, walk in sick, walk inbound, walk outbound, and they're good people and they're nice people and they mean well, but they haven't been taught the word. At some point, you've got to know God's not going to bail you out because he feels pity for you. God doesn't even concern himself with your storm. You see, Jesus came to them before he stopped the storm. Why? He's not worried about what's going on to you because he still knows he's bigger than anything that comes against you. What he wants you to do is respond by faith and say, I don't believe that God brought me this far to leave me. Act in faith, not in feelings. Act in faith. I believe you ought to feel the presence of God. I believe you can feel tears run down out of joy. I believe you can feel joy and want to leap and run. I wish there was more of it around here. But I need you to hear this. None of those things determine God. The only thing that moves God is faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed will move the mountain. Have faith in God. Faith in God. The third one is trust what you hear. Martha, I think he's fired up today. Well, I guess he is. I can't even sleep. If you sleep through me, I won't make you, if you deserve it. If you're sleeping now, please go on, man. You're tired. You're God's destination. Take an act of faith. Don't let your feelings run you. And thirdly, trust what you hear. Come on, musicians. Trust what you hear. Speaking of the musicians, trust what you hear. Watch this. And don't worry about that little child. Somebody's all worked up about that child. I like little kids in church. It's fun for me. Watch this. All they could never see him. Verse 50. They saw him and they were troubled. For they all saw him, watch this, and were troubled. But then he talked, and everything was all right. I'm not a firefighter, and I don't know that firefighters run up the stairs when there's a fire. However, I imagine, Darren, if I was in a fire, this is what I imagine. I would want to be able to hear so well because there's so much I can't see. If I was in the fire, I've never been in a fire. My dad was in a house fire one time. My dad was in a house fire. You remember when Dad and Karen's house caught on fire? He called 911. And the 911 operator said, yes, can I help you? He said, my house is fire. It's on fire. She said, where are you? He said, I'm in the house. She was trained. She said, get out of the house. If she'd only known he was legally blind. with a garden hose. No, he was in the house. So he can't drive at night. If you see him driving at night, stay away. But my legally blind father was in the house on fire with a garden hose calling 911. I mean, he's a dude. Nothing fear. No fear in that man's life. Anyways, that just came back in my mind. If I'm in the fire, all I see is damage. All I see is wreckage. All I see is heat. All I see is warfare. All I see is trouble. All I see is unrest. All I see is tension. All I see is dis-ease. All I see is negative reports. All I see is backsliding. If I get in that house and I go by what I see, I'm going to be destroyed. Literally, you look at colors and there are emotions and responses in your life by what you see. Ladies and gentlemen, your miracle is not going to change in front of you until you hear the voice inside of you. You turn on the news, you look at your phone long enough, you hear all this stuff, and all you see is bad news. All you see is discouragement and despair. But I need to help somebody to know what you need to do is close your natural eyes and open your spiritual ears and hear what the Lord has to say. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals. Come on. He still sets free. He still picks up the broken. He still sets the captive free. He still heals the brokenhearted. He still gives sinners other chances. Come on, somebody. I hear a sound, and it's the sound of the abundance of rain. Come on. Come on, somebody. Can anybody hear the sound of a God who can do anything? It's a beautiful illustration my wife gave today. He saw nothing. She didn't know what I was preaching. Six times, there'd been a drought for 3 years. And six times, the prophet sent the assistant prophet out. Clear skies, it's like June 1st in Maine. Clear skies. The seventh time he goes out and there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And immediately, Elijah said, I hear something. Does anybody hear what the Lord is saying today? Come on. Can somebody take your eyes off the situation long enough and get yourself into the Word of God and get into a Holy Ghost church and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and let God speak to you and say, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Let him say to you, by my stripes you are healed. Let him say to you, I've come to proclaim liberty in your life. Let him say, your cup will never run dry. Let him say, I'll lead you to paths of righteousness. Come on, somebody. I hear the Lord saying, be of good cheer. I am with you. And as long as he's on the water, you're not going down. See, they were in the middle of the lake. In the middle of the fourth watch, which is 4:30 a.m. It's still dark there, not here yet, but it's dark there. But when you look around and all you see is darkness, you say, good night. But when you hear Jesus come into the middle of the storm in the middle of the night, you say, good morning. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, good morning. Turn the other neighbor that's better looking and say, good morning. Come on, put a smile on your face. I don't know. When I slow down, you frown. When I get speed up, you smile. Come on, somebody shout, good morning, Lord. Come on, somebody shout, good morning, Lord. If he's still on the throne, I say, good morning, Lord. If he's still interceding for me, I say, good morning, Lord. If he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, I say, good morning, Lord. There's a better thing coming, and it's coming as soon as you can put your faith to it. Let's lift our hands and begin to thank God. Morning is coming for somebody. Come on, begin to lift your hands and thank God. Morning is coming for your family. Morning is coming for your business. Morning is coming for your ministry. Morning is coming for your marriage. Come on, do you believe it? Give it an act of faith. Give it an act of faith. Thank God morning is coming my way. And I will not be moved by what I see. I will be motivated by what I hear. Good morning, Lord. Things are about to change. In Jesus' name. Board members, come. Joel, come here. Joel, come here. Quick, quick. Board members, come. You can help me here, Joel, if you will. Come here. Come here. Yeah, up here. Come on, buddy. Joel came to Christ how many years ago? 2015. Went into Joe's house at Faith Bible College International. Every storm that could come against him before he got saved, after he got saved, and while he's in Bible college to become a minister has come against him. I watched the devil do everything he can to take this young man out. He lives down in Belfast in the summer, so when I saw him on the front row, I felt real joy. Look, what the devil tried to do failed. The devil had everything he had. Come on, somebody, we're talking about people. Talking about lives. For nearly all of his life, the enemy's tried to do everything he could to destroy his family. But today, he's in God's house. Look at him. He looks sharper than me. I got to up my game. I apologize. I'm ashamed of myself. I've let too many of you influence me. I got to get around Joel more often. I'm messing with you. But how many know this is what we're talking about? That the enemy did everything he could to drown him in addiction, drown him in mental problems, drown him in pain. But look, as long as God is on the water, so's Joel. And as long as God's on the water, so are you. Come on and give God praise and thank him for deliverance power today. Thank you, brother. Come on, praise God with me. Come on, real bad, real good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Dougie and Kurt, would you help me over there? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, would you help me over here? Yeah, please, just over there. Please look at it this way. Before we go into communion today, if you're in this building you're in a storm today, and you find yourself in church, and you're like, I don't go to church, I don't pray, I don't read the Bible, this is all so new to me, or maybe you used to do it, and you've drifted away. The Bible says that way to get reconnected to God, and this is not some religious thing, this isn't church membership, this is not a weekend activity, this is your soul. Next week you'll hear it preached. You need to come back next week. But we're facing days like mankind has never seen, both now and in the future. And I want to tell you, you better have your heart right with God. The Bible says any man without Christ, not could go to hell, any man without Christ will go to a godless eternity. And just like the devil had a plan for Joel, but Jesus got in Joel's heart, and now he's experiencing the plan that God has for him. You need to hear this. The devil has a plan and he's been executing it to destroy your life, backslider, sinner. And God's got a plan to put your life together. But the deciding issue is what's going on in your heart. And that's where God wants to get, is inside your heart. And if that's you today, you're far from God. Either you've never committed your life to Christ or you've drifted from him. And you say today, when you pray that prayer, you better count on me, because I'm tired of living this dangerous life. I'm ready to start living for God. Raise your hand up nice and high and say, that's me. I see a hand over there. God bless you, sir. Who else? Say, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. God bless you, son. Who else? That I didn't see you. You raised your hand, but I didn't see you. God bless you, sir. Is there anybody else in the balcony? Anybody else on the floor? That today you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to all stand, but nobody going that way. Everybody being right where you're at to help me. I'm going to invite those who raise their hand, if you would, to come and join me right here at this altar. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Son, can I pray with you? Yeah, come on, buddy. Bless you, son. You're all right. Stay right here. Stay right here. He's coming. All right, he's coming. We'll wait for you, Dad. Stand with him. Come on, young man. Thank God. Bless you, sir. All right, buddy. Come on. Paul, help him. Come with him, Paul. Come on, buddy. Bless you, sir. Let's pray this way, all right? We pray together, okay? Let's pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you. You've had your eye on me. You've known where I'm at. And you've called my name today. I admit, when I walked into this building, I was far from you. But I believe, by this prayer, by my faith, when you died on the cross, the punishment for my sins, you took it, so I don't have to. I believe you died for me. You were buried, and you rose from the grave for me. Today, July 1st, 2018, I am a new person. I receive forgiveness, adoption into the family of God. I'm on my way to heaven. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with supernatural ability to serve your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray for these three men that have come to you today. You know where their hearts are. You know where their lives are. You know their greatest need and greatest conditions. Lord, I believe you're able to visit and begin to change and turn around everything that has been coming against them. Lord, I pray you'll say, speak peace to the storm, and in every way their lives are made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God thanks. Would you help? These guys are going to help you. They're going to minister to you. Come on, sing it, Heather. Sing it. Sing it. Sing it.
We cry a word is the Lamb of God. We cry a word. We cry a word. We cry a word is the Lamb of God. We cry a word.
Go on the balcony. On the balcony.
We cry worthy, we cry worthy, it's the Lamb of God.
Want to go on the balcony as well?
We cry worthy, we cry worthy, we cry worthy, it's the Lamb of God.
Platform cameras immediately.
We cry worthy, we cry worthy, we cry worthy.
Back up, David, please. You folks know what to do. Come this way. You folks are all going to come into this aisle and come down. You get in the current will carry you back to your seat. Balcony, hold tight, they're coming to you, okay? We don't want you to fall down the stairs. We're going to come and minister to you. Camera people, platform media people, we've got plates coming to you. Come on, let's worship. We're going to end with prayer. We're going to believe God's going to touch some bodies today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not left-handed. Bless you. It's good to see you.
I'm your Savior. I will kneel down. Wash all the sin from your soul. I'm your servant. I am all you need.
Praise God.
I'm the lamb that was slain, and my blood washes you clean. I'm the pure sacrifice. Let my life give you life. I'm the Lamb.
Praise God, praise God.
I am the man given forever.
And it reaches to the high. and it flows to the Lord, which valley is sublime, gives me strength. That Jesus shed for me.
Let's sing it together, church.
Way back on Calvary, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day.
To be, if you'd look around for me. When we do it this way, people that can't move, it's hard for them. All right. Take that cracker that represents the body of Jesus. I'm so glad today that my sins have been buried and will never be dug back up again. It's hard to communicate, even more hard to imagine. But Robert, when Jesus was on the cross, the Father looked at him and said, I'm going to apply Matt Ward's sin to that natural body like a lamb sacrificed. It's hard to explain it, but I'm going to try. And buried that body. When he saw the body of his son buried, he saw Matt Ward's sins and one or two that Robert might have committed together on that body in the Father's mind, and it was there. And the Bible says that Jesus rose with a brand new body. Oh, there's such joy in knowing that God will never dig your sin back up. It's buried forever and is never resurrecting again. I'm happier about that. Maybe you didn't sin. A bunch of saints in the church today. Next week I'll try the sinners. How many are glad that they put all the sin on that body and that body went down and the sin didn't come back up? Amen. Down for the count. Somebody say, I'm forgiven. Take that bread and eat it all if you would in Jesus' name. Take that cup if you would. Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant. So the body was for your sins to be buried. But the cup is for your power of your spirit, the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of right living, the power of healing, the power of victory. I thank God for the new covenant. I thank God that God is able to do. See, in the Old Testament, you had to do what God wanted in your own strength. Or at least that's what mostly happened. But in the new covenant, we get to do it in God's strength. How many need the help of the Lord? Come on, somebody admit it. Somebody admit it. I need some help. Look at your neighbor. It'll be easier and say, you need some help. You need some help. Why are you that way? I tell you to encourage yourself. You don't, but I would tell you to tease somebody else. You all do it. Why? What is wrong with us? What is wrong? We're having fun. But how many are glad? Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. We're supernatural people. Take and drink it all. I think it'd be appropriate to lift holy hands to the Lord and thank Him for healing right now. I just feel like that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to call you forward. Just let healing be in your... I pray and declare in the name of Jesus, your back is healed right now. Your diabetes healed right now. Your heart condition healed right now. Anxiety and depression broken, right? Come on, now. Somebody say now. I don't think that faith works in the future. I think faith works in the now. Come on, somebody declare it right now. Come on, somebody say, thank God I'm healed now. I'm free now. Faith doesn't work next week. Faith works right now. Now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Come on. Somebody thank God right now. My family's getting put back together. Right now my mind is getting right. Right now my back is getting well. Right. Somebody shout right now. Let's shout and praise the Lord for a minute. Come on, give me something. Come on, somebody shout. I'm a Pentecostal. I can't help it. Somebody shout and praise the Lord.
Power, wonder-working power.
Come on.
In the blood.
Come on, come on.
Of the Lamb.
Yeah,
well, there is power. Power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
I'm grieved in my spirit because only about four of you know how to clap with this music. I'm sitting there trying to praise the Lord and I'm here. I have no idea what's going on with you people. All right, so I'm going to teach you how to clap to music that they don't play on K-Love. Ready? Just me and Bryce. Just me and Bryce. Ready? There is power. Stop. Once isn't enough. Okay? Now you think I'm playing but this is a praising church. Okay? And there's something when you clap your hands, there's something spiritual. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Not stick your hands in your pocket, stare at me. Now you can, but you go out with what you came with. But I'm telling you, when I begin to praise the Lord with my soul, my body, and my mind, I realize there's power when I clap. There's power when I shout. There's joy when I sing. Bryce and me, ready? There is power, power. Some of you are too stiff for me. Yeah! There is power. Come on, let's share one more time. And thank God for He's a deliverer.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power,
wonder-working power. Come on, let's praise Him.
In the precious blood.
My sins are washed. My body's healed.
There is power, power.
from the burden of sin. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood.
Which you will want. Victory.
Sing what you want. There's wonderful power in the blood. I know there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let's begin to pray in the Spirit, begin to thank God right now. Lord, I praise you, I thank you that you're a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. I praise you and thank you right now. No weapon formed against the people of God will prosper. I thank you right now, all of your promises are yes and amen. I thank you, Lord, that Joel right now receives a touch of God on his life. The power of the Holy Spirit is greater than what the enemy ever tried to do in him. I pray for a tide rising of strength in his life. And whatever's been attacking him is going to fall now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Begin to lift up the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of the honor. There is nothing too hard for our God to do. Come on. There is nothing too hard for God to do. Marabasi kabasotaya. Come on. Hallelujah. Matarabasore. I thank the Lord for power today. Hallelujah. 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 Now somebody physically that couldn't do what? There was something you could not do physically when you came in, but you can do it now. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Whatever you couldn't do before. See, the healing is not a song. The healing is not a sermon. The healing is a Savior. Do it right now. Come on, somebody, whether it's turning or lifting your arm or do something you couldn't do before. Now some of you, you've been sitting all service, you just keep doing what you've been doing before, but somebody else, just do something. Just do something. If God's touching it, and I'll lift your hands and be thank God. If he's touching you, begin to thank God. If he's touching you, begin to thank God. Glory, glory, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, somebody call on the name of Jesus. I still feel like somebody's working on next week's faith. Let's have a today's faith. Amen. Come on. I thank you, Lord. Healing is coming. Just begin to thank God. Healing's coming to my body. Oh, oh. Thank you, Lord. Healed. Healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say a good amen. Thank God for his power. Lord, I thank you for your presence today. I pray that you'll be with us this afternoon. Those of us coming back tonight, I pray, Lord, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Amen.